heritage, our rich 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 heritage. Beauty of Islam, beauty of Islam.
Dear viewers, right now, Alhamdulillah, we're present in front of historical Islamic landmark. Behind me, you can see Masjid-e-Quba. This masjid is very rich in Islamic history and has a lot of contextual background behind it. Masjid-e-Quba, dear viewers, is situated in an area called Quba, which is approximately 3 kilometers in the southwest of Madinatul Munawwara. So Alhamdulillah, we're present right in front of Masjid-e-Quba, which holds a lot of importance, a lot of significance in Islamic history. This is the very first masjid that was built in Islam, and none other than our master, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, laid the foundations of this very masjid. When the migration of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam took place, he alayhi salatu wasalam comes to Quba, and the first thing that was done over here was a masjid was built for the Muslims, and it was the land of Sayyidina Kuthum ibn Hidm radiallahu anh that was chosen for this noble cause. And this very land, dear viewers, were initially used to dry dates. This is what used to happen over here. But the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam purchased this land from Sayyidina Kuthum ibn Hidm radiallahu anh and laid the foundations of Masjid-e-Quba, the first ever masjid of Islam. It is stated, dear viewers, that the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would pick up the rocks himself along with other companions alayhi muridwan, and he would cement those rocks or blocks, if you want to call them, in the walls of this masjid. So the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, may our lives be sacrificed upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he took part himself physically and personally in building this very masjid. Whilst mentioning the virtues of this very masjid, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam stated that the one offering salah in this masjid attains the reward equal to umrah. And this narration is also mentioned by Imam Tirmizi rahimahullah in Jami Tirmizi, where he says that to offer salah in Masjid-e-Quba is equivalent to an umrah. And dear viewers, how much love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had for Masjid-e-Quba, that it is stated in Sahih al-Bukhari that every Saturday the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to come to Masjid-e-Quba either walking or on his ride. This is the love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for Masjid-e-Quba, that every week he would visit Masjid-e-Quba. Devotees of the Prophet who get this honor, this privilege of presenting themselves in Masjid-e-Quba and offer 2 rak'ah salah, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, that offering 2 rak'ah salah over here is equal to the reward of Umrah. So Alhamdulillah, we are present at this sacred location, at the sacred historical monumental location in the history of Islam. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the honor of presenting ourselves at this sacred location, and we pray to Allah Almighty that may Allah Almighty forgive us all without accountability and enable us all to visit Masjid-e-Quba and make our du'as, whatever we want to, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill all our lawful desires as well. Now inshallah, we'll visit Masjid-e-Quba from inside, and we'll also show you the visuals of Masjid-e-Quba from inside. Let's go inside Masjid-e-Quba.
Beauty of Islam, beauty of Islam.
Dear viewers, right now we are inside Masjid-e-Quba Sharif, the foundations of which were laid by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam himself, and the very first masjid of Islam. Alhamdulillah, offering 2 rak'ah salah way is equivalent to the reward of Umrah. You can see the beautiful masjid where we are present right now. We've very briefly covered the history of it as well. Now to learn more about Masjid-e-Quba Sharif, let's go towards our studios.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, that was Masjid-e-Quba for you, a masjid that holds a lot of significance in Islamic history. SubhanAllah. Masjid-e-Quba, dear viewers, is known as Babul Madina, those who would come from the south, especially from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Medina, would first come through Quba. And this part of the land, which was also mentioned earlier, holds a lot of significance ever since Islam rose. After the construction of Masjid al-Quba, it was for the first time that the Muslims freely offered salah behind the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Because prior to this, when the Muslims, they tried to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Makkah al-Mukarramah, the disbelievers, the polytheists, they would oppress them severely. They would torture them severely. Now the migration took place and Sahaba Ikram alayhi wa ridwan, they were migrating to Madinah al-Munawwara along with the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. And before reaching Madinah al-Munawwara, Quba was the area where they stopped before for a few days. And here, this very masjid was built, Masjid al-Quba was built, and after it was built, it was for the first time that the Muslims, they freely offered salah behind the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now let's talk about the distance, dear viewers, it had in those days from Medina to Quba, how long it would take them to reach Masjid al-Quba. Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu anhu narrates, we would offer Asr Salah in Masjid al-Nabawi, and when we would go to Quba, we would arrive there while sun would still be high. So after offering Salatul Asr in Masjid al-Nabawi, they would leave for Masjid al-Quba, and they would arrive there, still the sun would be high. So from this narration, we come to know that it is at such a distance from Masjid al-Nabawi that a walking person would arrive there between Asr and Maghrib Salah. The path which the Prophet ﷺ blessed to go to Quba from Medina has nowadays been changed into Tariq Quba. So this road has been constructed over here and it has been named as Tariq Quba. So may Allah Almighty bless us all with this honor to visit Quba Sharif whenever we go there, whenever we see Tariq Quba over there. This was the very path which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to go to Quba from Madinah al-Munawwara. And dear viewers, Masjid al-Quba is that masjid for which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had immense amount of love. Now let's talk about when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, during the journey of migration, arrived in Quba. Now it is stated, dear viewers, that Quba attained a prominent rank in the scrolls of Islamic history when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and his unparalleled devotee Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh blessed it with their presence on 12th Rabi'ul Awwal, which corresponds to 27th September 622 AD. And it was Sayyidina Kuthum bin Hidim radiallahu an who was blessed with the honor of serving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam stayed at his home for 4 days. So Sayyidina Kuthum bin Hidim radiallahu an was the one in whose home the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stayed for 4 days. So his honor shone, his destiny shone when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam arrived over there. And it was his land that was purchased for the purpose of the construction of Masjid al-Quba, which we also covered earlier during the clip which we showed you when we were in Masjid al-Quba. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, who was also with the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam during this journey of migration, he stayed at the house of Sayyidina Khubayb bin Isaf radiallahu anh, who belonged to Banu Harith, which is a branch of Banu Khazraj. Now, during this journey of migration, dear viewers, before the Prophet ﷺ set off for this journey, he sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam assigned a very important task to Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem. And this task was to hand over the entrustments of people to them in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And then the Prophet ﷺ had instructed him to join them in Quba or in Madinah al-Munawwara. So the Lion of Allah, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, after fulfilling the command of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, joined them in Quba 3 days later on 15th Rabi'ul Awwal. And he radiallahu anhu also stayed at the house of Sayyidina Kuthum bin Hidim radiallahu anhu. Another fascinating fact regarding Quba is, dear viewers, that Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, another elite companion, a prominent companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he visited the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam twice in Quba. And he saw two signs of prophethood of the Holy Prophet ﷺ in Quba, and the third sign that he was aware of, he witnessed that in Madinah al-Munawwara. And Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu was in search of truth, and he had visited many religious leaders, many monks, many hermits in search of truth. And many monks, they guided Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu towards the land of Medina. So when he came to know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has arrived in Quba, now he went there twice to behold the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to witness the signs of prophethood in him. And two of them, he witnessed them whilst he alayhi salatu wasalam was in Quba. And the third one, he saw when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was in Madinatul Munawwara. Now, dear viewers, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam commanded Sayyidina Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu anhu to bring his family from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara, now on the way from Makkah to Medina, the blessed family of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also stopped at Quba first, and they stopped again at the house of Sayyidina Kusum bin Hidim radiallahu anhu. The family of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was also with them, amongst whom was also Sayyidina Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu's daughter Sayyidatuna Asma binte Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, who was expecting at that time. And it was the land of Quba where she gave birth to her son Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, who was the first child born amongst the Muslims in Medina after migration. This birth was a means of immense joy to the Muslims. Now, dear viewers, there's a whole historical context behind the birth of Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu as well. That the disbelievers, they spread a false rumor that we've cast a spell of magic upon the Muslims and their lineage will not continue any further. There will not be any birth in amongst the Muslims anymore. So Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu was the first child that was born after the migration, which falsified all the false rumors that the disbelievers had spread, and this brought immense joy to the Muslims, and it was a great victory, a psychological victory as well for the Muslims, where these rumors that the disbelievers had spread, they were also falsified, and their lie was also exposed. Now, dear viewers, let's talk about Masjid Quba itself. It is stated that when Ibn Jubair visited Quba in 580 Hijri, he wrote that towards the Qibla in Masjid Quba is the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu an. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu an, who was the host of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Madinatul Munawwara, he also had a house in Quba. Now, he further writes that towards the west within the house is a well by which a wide rock is placed upon which people perform wudu. After Dare Banu Najjar is Dare Aisha. In front of which is Dari Umar, Dari Fatima, and Dari Abu Bakr. In front of which is Bire Aris, whose water was initially sour, but as soon as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam poured his blessed saliva in it, it became sweet and drinkable. The ring of the third caliph of Islam, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu an, also fell in the same well. Now, dear viewers, all these locations and houses which Ibn Jubair has written in his travelogue, they were all within the vicinity of Masjid Quba. And another fascinating fact, another interesting fact, dear viewers, is that after the fourth caliph of Islam, Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, married the lady of paradise, Sayyidatuna Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu anha, they lived in a house adjacent to Masjid Quba for 6 months. This was that blessed land, dear viewers, where the fourth caliph of Islam, the lion of Allah, Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, and the lady of paradise, Sayyidatuna Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu anha, also lived. The house was situated over there, right next to Masjid Quba, where they lived for 6 months. Subhanallah. Dear viewers, we're talking about Masjid Quba, and let's talk about how the foundations were laid for Masjid Quba and how the foundations of Masjid Quba were marked. This is again a very fascinating account through which this took place. Now, dear viewers, what happened was that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam commanded his companions, Ali Muridwan, those who had accompanied him at that time, to sit on a she camel, Qaswa, and let it go in round at that place. Let it go around at that place. Now, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, they both tried, but the she-camel did not let them sit upon itself. Now, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that, is there anyone else who will try to sit upon it? Now, the fourth caliph of Islam, the lion of Allah, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, tried and sat upon it very comfortably. Now the other companions, they were quite astonished that how easily he radiallahu anhu sat upon it. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alaihi wasallam instructed him to let its rein loose and mark the area around which it goes, and then a masjid be built upon the same markings, because it is appointed by Allah Almighty. Subhanallah. These are the instructions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alaihi wasallam to Mawla Mushkil Kushaa Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam instructed Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem to let the camel go in circle around in that area, and whichever area it covers, mark that area, and that very area will be the boundaries, that those markings will be the boundaries of Masjid al-Quba, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed this. So this video is the boundaries of Masjid al-Quba were marked. Now what happened afterwards, that after the marking, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "O people of Quba, bring me rocks from Hara." When many rocks and stones were gathered, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam picked up one of them and placed it in the foundations of the masjid of Masjid al-Quba. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam himself placed the first rock in the foundations of Masjid al-Quba. According to Ibn Abi Khaythama radiallahu an, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam laid foundation towards the northern side of the masjid first. Then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an and Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an also placed stones 10 by 10. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would work along with the companions and bring stones. This is that masjid, dear viewers, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself physically took part in the construction of the masjid. According to one narration of Tabarani, Sayyida Shamus bint Nu'man radiallahu anha narrates that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam building the masjid. Now she's depicting what she sees. So she says that I saw the Prophet ﷺ building the masjid. He ﷺ would load stones on his back himself to the extent that his blessed back would bend. The signs of dust would be apparent on his blessed clothes and luminous face. Whenever any companion would try to take load off his back so that he experiences some ease, he would refrain them from doing so and say that bring other stones like he alayhi salatu wasalam is bringing himself as well. Subhanallah. So dear viewers, we come to know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself physically took part in the construction of Masjid al-Quba, in the labor work of Masjid al-Quba. And he alayhi salatu wasalam did not let any companion do his work. As in other companions, of course, they would sacrifice everything of theirs for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So they're seeing the physical hardship, the physical work that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is doing in order to lay the foundations of Masjid al-Quba, for the construction of Masjid al-Quba. And how could those ardent devotees see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam going through such physical hardship? So they offered the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that let us do your work. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stopped them, refrained them from this, and commanded them to bring stones the way he alayhi salatu wasalam himself is bringing. Dear viewers, Masjid al-Quba initially occupied very small part of land, and then many expansions took place thereafter. The first expansion of Masjid al-Quba took place during the caliphate of the third caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu an. And then many other expansions took place during other caliphates and during other rules. Now dear viewers, who were the Imam and Muazzins of Masjid al-Quba? Subhanallah. Now dear viewers, when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam continued his journey of migration from Quba to Medina, he left Quba and he left from Medina. Now Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu an would lead Salah after him. So Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu an was the Imam of Masjid al-Quba after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam left Quba to Medina. After Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu an, it was Sayyidina Salim radiallahu an who would lead Salah there. And Sayyidina Salim radiallahu an was a freed slave of Sayyidina Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiallahu an. Even elite companions, the likes of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an, they would also offer Salah behind Sayyidina Salim radiallahu an whenever they would visit there. And Salim radiallahu an, he's a freed slave, remember. But elite companions like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an and Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an, even they would offer Salah behind Sayyidina Salim radiallahu an. This is the beauty of Islam. This is the equality we see practically being practiced within Islam. This is the beautiful lesson and teaching that we learn from Islam, subhanAllah. So Sayyidina Salim radiallahu anh, after Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anh, is appointed as Imam in Masjid Quba. Now, during the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Sa'd bin Abid radiallahu anh was the muadhin of Masjid Quba, and he was a freed slave of Sayyiduna Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anh, subhanallah. Again, dear viewers, we see that these are freed slaves, their companions, subhanallah, freed slaves, but look at the ranks they attained, look at the great responsibilities they were assigned by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Someone's becoming imam, someone's becoming muadhin. This is the beauty of Islam, this is the equality we learn what Islam teaches us, subhanallah. Now, dear viewers, when we look at the virtues of Masjid Quba, when we see the excellences, the narrations that have been mentioned regarding Masjid Quba, there are so many narrations through which we come to know how sacred Masjid Quba is, subhanAllah. Sayyidina Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu reports that, I prefer offering 2 rak'ah salah in Masjid Quba than visiting Baitul Muqaddas twice. If people knew what is in Quba, they would force their camels to go there. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would at times go to Masjid Quba by walk and at times on a ride. And Sayyidina Nafi radiallahu anhu has further added to it in another narrations that then he alayhi salatu wasalam would offer 2 units of salah there. Subhanallah. In another narration, Sayyida Umm Bakr bin Miswar radiallahu anha narrates that the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anha said, had Masjid Quba been in the heavens or in the horizon, we would still force our camels to take us there. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Hudayr al-Ansari radiallahu anha narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, one salah in Quba is equal to 1 Umrah. Ibn Hibban narrates from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam say that whoever offered salah in this masjid is equal to 1 Umrah. Sayyidina Sa'id bin Nuqaysh radiallahu anhu narrates that Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu came to Quba and offered 2 units of salah. When he completed his salah with salam, then he remained seated there and we two sat around him. He said, what rank this masjid has. Even if it took 1 month to reach it, people would still reach it. Whoever leaves his home with the intention of offering 4 units of salah here, Allah Almighty will reward him of Umrah. In another narration, Sayyidina Sahal bin Hunayf radiallahu anhu narrates from his father that he heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam say, whoever leaves his home after performing wudu and goes to Masjid Quba with this intention only that he will offer salah there, then that salah of his will be equal to 1 Umrah in reward. In another narration, it is stated that he who offered salah in it, meaning in Masjid Quba, attained the reward of Umrah. So dear viewers, there's so many virtues and excellences mentioned regarding Masjid Quba. We also showed you the visuals of Masjid Quba. We've told you regarding the history of Masjid Quba and how the boundaries were marked, how the construction process took place, and how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he himself took part in the construction of Masjid Quba, and how beautifully the Sahaba alayhi ridwan, they mentioned the excellences and virtues of Masjid Quba and how highly esteemed they considered Masjid Quba. They would go there at whatever cost, and this is how they highlighted its significance as well for us, where we come to know that how fortunate are those who are blessed with the honor, with the privilege of visiting Masjid Quba. And dear viewers, another beautiful fact that we can understand from this is that in narrations we come to know that the one who visits Masjid Quba offers 2 units of salah over there, he receives a reward of 1 Umrah. Now imagine that to receive reward of 1 Umrah in Ka'batullah Sharif, one has to perform all the rites, all the wajibat, all what is required to perform the Umrah. One has to go through the physical effort of all those rites in order to get reward of 1 Umrah. But the one who visits Masjid Quba offers 2 units of salah over there, he gets the same reward. SubhanAllah. This is how sanctified this masjid is. This is how sacred this masjid is. And this is how beautifully we've covered a few narrations where the Honorable Companions, alayhim wa ridwan, they've praised and they've revered this masjid, subhanAllah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah Almighty enable all of us to visit Masjid Quba, and may Allah Almighty enable us all to offer 2 rak'ah salah over there and attain reward of Umrah as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Our rich heritage, 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 our rich heritage.